I'm praying everybody had a great Christmas.
Amen.
Yes. And now we're heading into the new year. Who's ready for that?
Hallelujah.
Ooh, some excitement. So I want you to take your seat belts off and let's fly. Right? No limitations, nothing holding us back, right? That's where we want to go. So it's been interesting. The last couple months, I've been talking to several of you, or and maybe some of you don't even know it, but you've come up and you've been stating, what's the more? I want more. What's the, and I was just like, yeah, what's the more? What's the more? It's been stirring in my spirit. And I have all kinds of ideas, and that's probably all of them. But when you start hearing people, it was probably six ladies that had talked to me, and I was just like, so when Terry spoke and he talked on expectation, I was like, that's it. That's it. I think God has put within this body a spirit of expectation.
Hallelujah.
We come and we want to know him. We want to see him. We want to encounter him. We want to feel him. And then when it doesn't, and this is where we can get into a little bit of trouble, is when it doesn't happen like how we think it should happen, or as good as it should happen, or remember last Sunday, Sandy? It was way better than today. That's where we can get into a little bit of disappointment, frustration, or not feeling like, ugh, but when you just keep come expecting, and even the little things that he's doing, you're just like, yes, it's another token. Yes, it's another thing that he's doing. Yes, it's relationship. Yes, I'm growing. So for this year, I just felt like listening to Terry, to Steve, because we went, Bruce and I got to go on almost a 2-week vacation. And before I left, I was just like, God, I just want to hear you. I just want to know, you know, what are you saying in this time? And it was kind of funny because I start listening to Terry. We're on the ship and we're listening to Terry speak, you know. And then as soon as he said expectation, that's what jumped in my spirit. Well, then Steve speaks. So he spoke to me through the body, through the people that were speaking, the leaders. And I was like so overwhelmed. So that's what I want to share with you today, is we have a cry of wanting more, and God has put within us the expectancy for more. And that's not just us either, but I still feel like if you come here, you're wanting more and to know more of God. And we don't just want the normal. We are a church of expectation. We love his presence. And there's just such a hunger to know him more, to know his ways, his character, and who he is. And I just love it when visiting pastors come, and or, you know, even people that come and rent or come walk through the building, they just sense his presence here. They'll come into a service and be like, do you guys understand what you have here? And sometimes I'm like, oh no, you know, am I taking it for granted? And I don't ever want to take his presence for granted. But I love it when they confirm again that he's here, that he's with us. And I love too when they say there's such a sense of destiny in here. And that is, you know, sometimes, well, and I'll talk a little bit more about it later, but there's a sense of destiny here. So I believe that we are coming into a season through what I feel like God was showing me. We're coming into a season of greater, deeper relationship with him, of growth in relationship. And when I got here, I kind of said to Bruce, I forgot to look up, like, there's always a Hebrew word. Do you still have it on your phone? Oh, there's always a Hebrew word for the next year. And I was like, oh, I didn't look that up. But I thought it was really neat in reading it, and maybe some of you already know it, but it's the door to advancement. Okay, and I'm not going to read all this, but shift, change, and transformation. Entering the door, awakening and realignment. Entering the realm of renewal. So, I mean, that's just, and you can look that up, you know, to find out like what 2024 means. And but I'm telling you, get ready.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Right? Let's just see all that. And you know what? It's hard because there's no book out there for this. There's no book on what Holy Spirit's going to do next. You know, or how do you run a Holy Spirit-led service? There's not a book on it. You know what? It comes through you and I.
Yeah. That's right.
Being together. And all of us, none of you are discounted, from the littlest child to the oldest person. But it comes through us being together. And I'm so excited because I think I'm going to grow immensely because of you. And you're going to grow because of me. We need each other. We're the body of Christ.
Amen.
And we love and honor one another. And that's where a lot of his grace will flow through that. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you for your presence here. I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for what you're going to speak. Holy Spirit, just have your way. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our minds, our hearts to just receive you and who you are. This is heaven, and you are so beautiful. I thank you. I thank you for always being with us, for being tangibly present with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I believe that we are in a season of greater and deeper relationship with God, that whenever we gather, we are expecting to encounter him. Okay, even in the mundane, Simeon and Anna served in the temple. They did the temple work day after day after day. But he said, I know, I'm going to see him. So that could be a word to somebody here. Maybe you have been, I've been doing the work, doing the work, doing the work, doing the work. And I don't let it be discouragement. You're going to see him. You're going to see him.
Hallelujah.
I believe that we are expecting, and the atmosphere is pregnant with expectation. Okay, walls, you hear that. Actually, one time I had this vision that this whole room was a womb. Just constant birthing what the Holy Spirit has. Pregnant with expectancy. So I have a little an encouragement for you. I was in prayer a couple of Sundays ago, and I just came in, and there was kind of an upbeat song on, so I sit down, and I'm just worshiping. And all of a sudden, I look over, and I see Jesus sitting next to me, and he's doing what I'm doing. And I looked at him, and I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm just worshiping. And then I turned and I'm like, you're worshiping yourself, you know. But you know what? I reached over and I grabbed his hand. And the life, the presence, I'm going to just define it as electricity that just flows through to me. And I was like, wow, that's beauty. That's beauty. So then I let go, because I was like, I'm probably going to lose it here. So I let go of his hand, and I just kept worshiping. And all of a sudden, he reaches over and grabs my hand. He wasn't done yet. But I was just so overcome and so overwhelmed and overflowing with his presence that it was just amazing. And that's like, no moment, guys, is wasted. No moment is wasted in his presence. So, but anyway, I come in here and I came to the front and I was standing there in the song, you know, most of our songs are fast on the first one. So I was raising my hands and all of a sudden I'm like thinking in my head, I wonder where Jesus is at. So I look over and he's right next to me again and he's doing the same thing I'm doing. And I looked at him and I said, what are you doing? And he says, I just love to worship with you. And I knew it wasn't just me he was saying. He loves to worship with us. He comes. You know, when he sits enthroned in his praises, that he comes, he's here, he's always with you. But I just want to encourage you, he loves to worship with you. He loves being here. Praise God, right? But God has so much more revelation of the kingdom that he wants to release to us. Do you know there's more? There is more to be known, to be seen. And kingdom to me, when he's releasing, the kingdom to me, when I was studying this out, it's probably been about 10 years, I was like, God, what is your kingdom? I don't know. How do I seek first your kingdom if I don't even understand what your kingdom is? And he was just like, it's me. And he gave me the definition of it's who he is and how he operates. Jesus preached the kingdom. And it is his pleasure to give us the kingdom and to know the secrets of the kingdom. This is what the word says. These are all scriptures, by the way. The kingdom, this kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is the kingdom. The kingdom is within you and at hand, and it cannot be shaken. This is why we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then we can pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom is him. It's who he is. He's joy. He's beautiful because his love is so immense. When you look at his face, I said to God, I don't even know how to look at your face. You're a spirit being. And he goes, well, when you look at somebody's face, what does that tell you? It tells you who they are. Oh, that's my mom. So when you look at him, love is his face. Peace is his face. You look into the face of peace, of joy, of love. I love that Jesus is manifested in man, because that I think I like to picture Jesus a lot to interact with God. But from all this expectancy comes the hunger to encounter him. And I believe from expectancy, being expectant to, you know, to wanting to know him, comes this hunger. And that's what I believe is here too, this deep hunger to know him. And if you read in Luke 6:21, and I didn't get you any verses, did I? Or did I? No, sorry. You're probably sitting on the pew. I'll just read them to you. Luke 6:21, and I love the Amplified. It says, blessed, happy with life, joy, and satisfaction. This is what blessed means. In God's favor and salvation, apart from the outward condition. Okay, so I'm going to start from the beginning. Happy with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, apart from your outward condition, and to be envied. Okay, blessed are you who hunger and seek with eager desire now, for you shall be filled and completely satisfied. I'm prophesying that over you right now. You are hungry. You have such deep desire to seek, you're going to be filled. And not, you're going to be filled to overflowing. You're not filled until you're overflowing, right? Because if there is, you're not overflowing yet, you still have a little bit left to go. You're going to be overflowing. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you shall be filled. That's in Matthew 5:6. But this requires relationship. It requires relating him to him. It requires knowing him and letting that filling happen, letting that filling of joy. You know, when you spend time with him and he shows you a little bit of himself in joy, you know, like the next time you spend time with him and there's joy, it fills you even more. And then you get so excited because the next time he talks to you about joy, it's just like, oh yeah, I know this. I know this feeling, and it overflows from you. He's so amazing. But relationship. So Steve talked about relationship. He talked about the 10 virgins and how they, the oil, they had, you know, and the other ones wanted the oil. But, you know, relationship. What I felt like God was showing me was in relating with him. And if I could say it like this, is I would love if you gave your heart to the Lord, get healed, get every area healed, and then serve him. And then watch what he'll do through you. I think sometimes we give our hearts to the Lord and we get stuck at getting healed. We struggle with our emotions, our mind. And his word does give us all the direction on that. But I'm believing that transformation, that whatever the word was for that door, that there's going to be a transformation where you're going to move beyond the struggling with emotions, struggling with depression. You're going to be like David and be like, nope, no more. You're coming down. There's going to be such a hunger in you to see him move in your life that you are not going to stand anymore for the enemy to sit and pick you apart. You're not going to take it anymore. But that's the beauty of the body too, because it does not mean that something can't happen. But you know what? If I get knocked down, I can be like, Sandy, can you help me get back up? Let me remind you who you are, Lori. The body is beautiful and can help us walk in strength, in a solid foundation. That's why we come. It's why we hang together, so we can be strong in one another and you have somebody to help you when you fall down. We don't have to hide it. We don't have to be ashamed of it. We don't have to be. Exactly. But we get stuck into being, I got to be perfect, and I'm perfect, and I don't want Natalie to see that I'm not perfect. And that's not the truth, is it? Amen. We can fall, but he's greater. His grace is greater to save me and keep me than it is to let me be deceived and fall and stay that way. But my heart for in relating would be that we would be so healed, so that we would walk forward in marching orders of Holy Spirit, that we would just move in victory and in power and in love and in strength. And, you know, one of the things too is we cannot, I felt like Holy Spirit was saying this, we cannot impart relationship to each other. I cannot walk up to Justin and say, oh, here's your relationship with God. I'm going to lay hands on you. Sorry. This is something you have to develop on your own. You have to pick up the word and read. You need to focus on him, and I'll talk more about that later, but just developing your relationship with him. You know, I liked it when Jesus said to the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And that's a good question for us today. Who do you say I am? Not what the word says, but who is he in your life? And that's the beauty of a testimony, right? I think of like in a marriage, you know, if you got married and then all you had to do was read a book about your spouse, or, you know, or you just make requests of them. This I'm talking about like my life before. Like, Jesus, just protect my family. Make, you know, when you're talking, when you're just making requests of him, you know, keep somebody safe. Do this, do that, do this, and okay, good night. You know, or, and you just read a book about him. That's no fun, is it? Experiencing that person is what builds and causes you to grow and develop in relationship, into a deep relationship. It's experiencing God, experiencing Jesus and Holy Spirit, relating to them and knowing them, loving them, and building a constant awareness. These are the things that will help us to grow together in this coming year. Worship and the word will help you to build a strong foundation. You need a strong foundation, and that's why like Bible studies are so good, or in even in here coming in and hearing the word of God, or and worshiping together will help build a strong foundation together. Because you know what, we also want good character. And you know how there's a lot of people that are gifted. I remember Bruce talking to a guy that wanted to come here and take over our church. And Bruce looked at him and he said, "The problem is," he said, "you could do this on your own." Because he's so gifted that everywhere he goes, people come. And I sat there thinking, oh my, he just said that to him. But he said, "The problem is you could do this on your own." And the guy looked at him and said, "Yep, you're right. I could." But it's the Holy Spirit that we want. Amen. Right? And we love gifting. And there are so many gifted people in here. There, I mean, everyone is gifted. Every one of you is gifted. But we want the character, right, to walk in that gifting. Relationship, all in relating to him. I'm struggling with this one. Maybe I'll just say it though. Because in relationship, sometimes we worry about what, you know, who we are, and thinking that, you know, God won't flow through me because of I did this, or, you know, this is still happening in my life, or this, you know. So I just want you to listen to this revelation that I feel like I got from the Holy Spirit. And it's in John 4, and I'm going to try to break it or keep it as simple as possible, but it's in John 4 where Jesus came to the woman at the well. Okay? So a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And the woman said, "Well, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." So there's already some breaking down, paradigms shifting. Men weren't supposed to talk to women, or let alone Samaritans. So Jesus answered her and said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Whew. Do you know the gift of God that's been given to you? Now, and he says he's going to give you living water. So the woman says, and I'm probably not going to do all of this, but, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. You know, so he's like, she says, when did you get that living, or, you know, where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? But Jesus says to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Talking about the well water. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So I'm always like, what, God? She's asking you for a drink of water, and you're telling her you have living water, and if you drink the water that he gives you, that you'll never thirst again. Never thirst for what? That was my question. I'm like, never thirst for what? So he says, keep reading. So I said, okay. So the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst and come out here to draw water ever again. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman said, I have no husband. And then I was like, Jesus, what? Why did you go say, call your husband? See, some of these stories I read and I just have so many questions I don't even understand. But I loved what the Holy Spirit showed me. Because Jesus said to her, no, you don't even have one husband, you have five husbands. I was like, well, what does that mean? And he said, if you think about it, a husband is a love. Not only did she have one love, but she had five loves. You'll never thirst again for the things of this world. The love of this, you'll never thirst again. And I am telling you, if you hang out with him, the things of this world will never satisfy. They'll never satisfy. He's so good. You don't have to worry about what you're doing. She came, oh, I have five husbands. Okay, no big deal. And he prophesies to her. And what does she do? He told me everything I did. Let me tell you what he's done for me. He set her free. And she went out and won the city. He'll give you this water, and I believe the water is Holy Spirit, where you will never thirst again for the things of this world. And I can tell some of you even now, you're like, yep, you're right. That's my relationship. I don't, because he's just so good. So don't worry about your relationship with him and if you're good enough or not, or if, don't worry about it. He will change it. He will show you, and he lovingly will help you and change you. So the other part about relationship that I felt like Holy Spirit was showing me was in Hebrews 5:14. And this is the Amplified also. But solid food is for the spiritually mature, whose senses are trained by practice to distinguish between what is morally good and what is evil. Solid food is for the spiritually mature. Having your senses trained. Now, I know I liked some of the other versions that I read where it said your senses, but also your mind. It talked about mind. That one read it. The mental faculties. Whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary either to, is there the rest of it? Divine or human law. Cool. Can't see it up there. So this was the scripture that I think that is going to propel you forward in your relationship with God. And it is having your senses trained. And your senses are seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, tasting. Now, these are, to me, are not just metaphors. You have spiritual eyes that see. That's why we see visions. You have spiritual ears that hear. And you hear his word. You hear him speaking to you. And I believe that seeing and hearing go so much together. And that's why, like I said to Bruce, I think that was the best Christmas message I've ever heard. Was seeing. They didn't just come. See beyond what you see. They didn't come just to see a baby. All of a sudden, when they stepped up to that baby, they saw the Savior of the world. They saw beyond what they literally saw. And that's what he spoke about. And I was like, that seeing, and you know what? It's not just for the few. It's not just for the few. Do you see that it says, if Ephraim, could you leave that up? Because I'll probably go back to it. But it says practice, training, and practice. You can train yourself to see. Some are a little more natural at it, and it's fun with the kids. I do it with the kids all the time. But some are just like, they'll just do it, and then other ones. But it is so refreshing to see and even hear the kids talk about their growth in it. Because at first, like one little girl I can think of, she just saw colors. And then she started to see Jesus. And then now this last time, she heard Jesus tell her to come to him. And, you know, to me, because she said, I can't do that. And I said, it's all right. I said, don't worry. I said, you just keep doing what you're doing. And I said, and one day it'll happen. And she was just so ecstatic because she said, Lori, that's the first time I've heard him speak. And I was like, it's amazing, kids. But seeing, John 5:19 says, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. He can do nothing of himself. This is for us too. We don't want to do nothing of ourselves, but what we see him doing. I'm like, God, I want to see what you're doing. That's why in a service, I'll say, God, what are you doing? Let me see. Sometimes I'll turn around because I want to see. I wish I could see you all because I want to see what he's doing. I'm practicing. I'm training myself to see in the spirit. Is this too much? Hopefully not. Seeing is so important. Hearing, John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Hang on to that. I say, I hear you, God. I don't hear you right now, but I hear you, God. I want to hear you right now, but I don't hear, you know, but I keep going back to what does the word say? My sheep hear my voice. And you might hear it from somebody else, through someone else, through kids, billboard. Okay. We hear his voice. Revelations 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. That sounds like a relationship, huh?
Yes.
He's going to come in and sit down and hang out and talk. was listening to a guy speak. He talks to young adults, you know, youth a lot. And he said, when I just told him, just sit down like you're sitting down with your friend and just talk to Jesus. He said it broke so many things off for them that they were like, the next week he was like, they were coming to him saying, well, this happened and God said this or Jesus said this, you know. And he was so, I think he just broke off the limitations, that you have to, you know, be doing something certain or you have to pray a certain way. And even right now I'm trying to teach the kids' churches, just praying is just talking to God. And he says to pray all day. Pray without ceasing, he actually says. But we just pray, just talk to God and listen. And I'm practicing that. I'm practicing hearing. Like even with John 4, I'm like, I'm practicing. God, what are you saying? What water that will never thirst? So hearing, blessed are your eyes because they see. This is for you. Blessed are your eyes because they see. And your ears because they hear. And he goes on to say, this is in Matthew 13. He says, I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. I'm sorry, 13, 16 to 17. They had the privilege of seeing what we get to walk in today. And I still think I didn't check to see if it was David or not, but when he said, who can ascend the hill? Who can stand in his holy presence? Lift up your heads, you ancient gates. Lift or open the doors, open your doors. I think he was seeing us. I think he had seen that Jesus had died and that there was a people that could stand in the holy place. And they yearned for that. So blessed are your eyes because they see, and blessed are your ears because they hear. You know, the Bible is all about heaven interacting with people. It's all about God interacting with people. If you read, you know, the unseen, people are, you know, interacting with the unseen. And that is so exciting to me. I read a book too, that where the guy said over a third of the Bible is visions. And I didn't really think about that. And I'm like, oh yeah. You think about Ezekiel, you think about Zechariah, you think of it's visions. They had visions. And we want to discount it today for some reason. Or discount moving in the Holy Spirit. You know, we are a temple of the Holy Ghost, right? Who wants to interact with us? Heaven interacting with us. I love it. You know, he said he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. That's what he said would happen and has happened and is still happening. But I think it's going to happen to a greater degree. Yeah. Greater, greater, greater degree. You guys, we pursue. Pursuing isn't for me to look great. Pursuing is for you to fulfill your identity. Think about that. It's to fulfill your identity. It's who you are called to be. And that's what makes us useful. Because Bruce talked about being useful, being willing, prepared, and engaged. You know, we all desire to be used of God and to have Him flow through us, you know, to touch other people's lives. But I hope our perspective, and I've kind of touched on this before, but I hope our perspective doesn't make it feel like we have no purpose or that we are not useful. Because I think when I talk to a lot of people in the body, they feel like there's no purpose for them. They feel like they're not useful. And I think it's partly the church's fault because we want everybody to, you know, or maybe it was just me. We think that we need to be the speaker, or we think that we need to, you know, lead a Bible study, or we have to be a leader in some case to be useful or for there to be a purpose for us. Or, and not seeing that the perspective of being useful is you just being alive. When you've given your heart to the Lord and you've accepted him and he's come in and you've made him your savior, you are now the enemy's worst nightmare. But do you think that way? Do you think you're a powerful person? For a while, I had to look in the mirror and I'd be like, Lori, you're a powerful person. He made you a powerful new creation, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, more than a conqueror, whose anointing can break the yoke of the enemy, preaching the good news, healing the brokenhearted, setting the captive free, to do the works that Jesus did and greater. Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, that healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, praising, thanking, rejoicing, and praying, doing all these things through Christ who strengthens you.
Yeah.
That's who you are.
Yeah.
And if you need a little help with that, those are all scriptures. That I'll sit and write that stuff down so I can remember that little thing is not, no, I'm more than a conqueror.
That's right.
I'm going to take it out. I'm going to cut it down. Right. All this happens because of relating with him, experiencing him, knowing him. How do you want to know him? That's always the fun question for me. What, God, what do I want to know? Is it healing? Is it deliverance? Salvation? Is it faith? Joy? There's so much to know about him, and I'm telling you, even if you pick one thing or if he shows you one thing, you can't exhaust it. You just can't exhaust it. You can't exhaust him. There's just so much more. So I'm saying all of that to invite you to a class that I'm going to be starting on Sundays, January 14th. January 14th, I'm going to start at 4 p.m. And this is going to be a class of us just gathering together and relating together and growing in our relationship with him. We're going to be training our senses. We're going to be practicing the presence of God together. So it will be interactive. Okay, I need you to interact. And even if you don't, you question, there's times that I'm like, I'm not seeing anything, or I'm not hearing, I'm not feeling, but somebody else will. And it is going to be just a time of Holy Spirit. We're going to start writing the book. Might be more of a journal, but that is one thing, is if you are interested, bring a journal or get you know, you can just get the 17-cent one at Walmart, because I'm telling you, you probably will start writing a lot if you give your time to this. But a journal is huge, because you'll be able to look back, or you'll be able to remember, and you'll write down. And then when you are maybe dealing with something, you can go back and look and be, oh, thank you, Jesus. You're so good. You're always so faithful. You're always there. But we're going to be engaging in the heavenly places, in the heavenly realms. Engage. What? Awesome. So I love Bethel is having a healing school, and I just loved what their little promo piece was. So I'd like to read it to you. When you associate with people that are experiencing great encounters with God in their life, you gain access to the anointing that is on them. Impartation is just that. By partnering with the faith of others whom God has poured out his Spirit on, you will be empowered to walk in the fullness of all that God has for your life. I love it, because, you know, when you hang out with somebody that hangs out with God, you start to build this framework. You know, and like I was telling you before, some of the things that have happened to me, and if you come to the class, you will find out some of those things, but hopefully it creates a framework for you. That when you're spending time with Holy Spirit and something happens, you're like, oh, I remember when Aubrey said that, or I remember when Tammy said that. Now I have something to hang that on. You know, that's the beauty of us being together and training together, of just seeing and hearing. How many want to know or hear him more, see him more? Six of us. Okay, great. No, I totally believe that this is who we are. And this is what he is stirring. The Holy Spirit is stirring in us. And that's why I was like, it's time. I think I've been saying it for a while. I want to do this. I want to do this. And that I feel like this year is the time. Because I want to know him. I don't want to be surprised and say, oh, that was God and I didn't even know it. I was praying for somebody and laid my hands on her, and I was, you know, she's just like, I just have pain or whatever. And I said, well, I just command this disease to go away in Jesus' name. And somebody else looked at me and said, she didn't say it was a disease. And I was like, I don't know. That's just what came out, you know, and I just spoke life and healing to her. Well, come to find out, she had shingles. I was just like, God, I didn't even know. I want to know. And maybe that's not, maybe he likes to work in mystery too. But I was like, I want to hear him. I want to see him. I want to know what he's doing so I can partake and be. And I want to hear from you. What is he showing you? Because I'm going to jump in and partake, because there's that impartation. If I can say one more thing, don't be resistant. Sometimes it's like, well, I'm not seeing that, so I'm not going to jump into that. Well, say, Holy Spirit, I want to see it. I want they see it, I want to see it. I want to be a part. I want to know and be one, a body of one. So if you will stand with me, I would love if you, oh, Bud, I'm sorry, don't stand. Little exercise today. Bud, why don't you can come share. Do you want to? Anyway.
There were a couple of things that Lori said that you need to take to heart. There are a couple of things that you need to take to heart that Lori has said. In terms of the virgins, make sure your vessel, you, have the stopper off to receive the oil to overflowing. That oil is being poured out into you over and over and over and over. Open up the door to you. and leave it open to receive everything God's got for you. Okay. The vision kind of set me back because I didn't quite know what I was seeing, but what I saw was like little specks of light all over the place, and in between all of this was a mist of light. I thought, oh, okay, that's interesting. And I began to see that that light was encompassing everything around me. And then I began to understand that light was encompassing all of the universe, all of the galaxies, all of the solar systems, all of the planets. And it brought it all the way down to this Earth. And the focal point of this encapsulation was directly directed specifically at Earth and every one of you. Be open to receive. So the other thing I got from it, this envelope had no, it went beyond what I could see. So there was no end on the other side of it, but it was encapsulating all of his creation, and it's the heaven of the Father. He is releasing his kingdom. And then he said to me, it is pulsating a trillion trillions times a trillion per second. So he is releasing himself, his kingdom, his love, his joy, his oil continually towards you. So open up yourself to receive it so that it can go out. So even beyond what you have said, I'm starting to see so that you can see, and it has nothing to do with who you are.
That's true.
It has everything to do with you saying, pray this way. Okay, I don't know why I'm praying this way. Go do that. I don't know why I'm doing this. He's wanting to release himself in you to demonstrate him for a dying world.
Amen.
And it's beyond who you think you are. It has nothing to do with who you think you are. It's who he says you are.
That's right. It's good. But...
and you don't even know who you are. So...
nope.
So I just wanted to be able to, it's just like this whole massive ball of light was encompassing all of his creation, and we were the center of its force.
Hold on to it. Can we do something prophetically?
Yeah.
Can you all stand?
Yeah.
We're just going to open, and Bud is going to pray. Ooh. So if you can just make some sign that you're open to him. Hey.
Father, behold your children. Their hearts are open to you. Their spirit is open to you. Release who you are to them and fill them to overflowing in a way in which they have never filled
Jesus.
Or felt before, that all of their senses would just receive, hear,
yes,
see, taste, smell. Be everything that you say you are as you're pulsating so many times over and over upon.
Ooh.
For your glory.
Yes,
for your
God.
Namesake.
Yes, God. Be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. Get ready. Get ready. All right, what I would love is if you have a need in your body, we believe that there's healing, wholeness for anyone that needs it, come forward. We will pray for you. If you have any other need, come on down. Otherwise, you be blessed. We will see you next week, next year. Have a great year. This is the last day of 2023. Be blessed.